Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
Right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. Glad you could be with us today. This is a program where we go through the Bible slowly and methodically and explain things best way possible in layman's terms, and show you things that are hidden in the Bible that organized religion has not shown you, just because they didn't want to or they didn't know themselves. Lots of stuff in here, amazing things like the fact that this isn't the first time this earth has been populated, and it was flooded twice. There are two bloodlines in this world, the seed of the serpent and the seed of Adam, and they war against each other. They will until Jesus Christ comes back. There were two accounts of creation. God made male and female, told them to replenish the earth because it had once been populated. And then he rested on the seventh day, and sometime later, we don't know how long, there's a gap there, he created his sanctified man, his priest, for his garden to tend. He said there's no man to till the garden. He created his priest for his Garden of Eden. That was his temple at the time. And then we all know somewhat of the story that proceeds from there. Catch episode 1 on WVFFradio.com and get your eyes opened. So God gave the first covenant, which was not the Ten Commandments. I don't care what your pastor said. First covenant was, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Well, they proved they couldn't do that. So when the children came out of Egypt, they proved to God they could not follow him with all their heart. So he laid the law on them. You know, a good parent says, okay, you don't want to do it the easy way there, Billy Bob. We're going to do it the hard way. But he laid the law on them, bondage, and the law ends in death and separation from God. You know, through the law, you can be sinful and not even know it. You can be sinful by accident. It's a horrible, horrible thing to be bound and your freedom taken away. And he did it for one reason. So one day they would cry out for the simplicity of what he wanted to give them, absolute freedom. All they had to do was follow him with all their heart. And Jesus Christ came back and restored that. He said, follow me and be baptized. And that's all you have to do. But do not try to combine the two, Christian. If you have accepted Jesus Christ and you still try to hold on to this law, the Bible says, if you hold on to one tittle of this law, you must keep it all. What you're doing is telling Christ what he'd done just wasn't quite enough. He should have done it a little better. And you don't want to go to heaven and stand before the Father making that statement. So the children came out of Egypt. They were told to totally get rid of everyone in the land. They didn't do it. They said if they didn't do it, they'd be cursed. They were cursed within 200 years that the entire nation of Israel has fallen into chaos, worshiping other gods, debauchery, and culminating in civil war, wiping out almost entirely the tribe of Benjamin. The judges of the time were not shepherds like Moses and Joshua. They were champions. They would go and try to champion the causes of Israel when the time came. And then the people cried out for a king. And this really disturbed God, because all he ever wanted to be was with his people and to be their king. They cried out for a king. He says, okay, I'll give you a king, but he will put you in bondage. He'll take your tenth of everything that you have. He'll take the best of everything that you have. Oh, we don't care. God, give us a king. We want to be like these other people around us. They have kings. He says, okay, so we have Saul. Saul is a coward in his heart, but he's a boisterous man in public. So we're seeing the things that Saul fails immediately. Within 2 years, Samuel comes and tells God, Saul is going to remove the kingdom from you. He has judged and found you lacking, and it will be removed. He's going to find a man after his own heart. So we're going to catch up here in 1 Samuel on chapter 15, right in the middle of Saul's reign. Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. Remember that sentence right there. The Lord says, I remember what Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. So, I tell you all the time, Christians, you pay for your sins in this flesh. Oh, Jesus died for all my sins. Yes, he died. Your spirit man will be made holy through the blood of Jesus. But whatever you do in this life, you will pay for your sins in this life. What did Jesus say to the man that he healed? He says, go and sin no more, lest a worse disease come upon you. Sin equals disease and hardships in your life and eventually death. So he says, let's start with two again. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember what Amalek did to Israel. He laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Every single thing that these people have, I want destroyed because of what they did to my people, God says. You know, and there's an underlying reoccurring theme in here. Amalek could have been one of God's people also. Mm-hmm. God says, anyone can come if they follow me with all their heart. But Amalek chose not to, so he's giving Saul specific instructions here. Go and wipe out Amalek, every single animal, every single child, every single woman. Oh, that's so mean of God to wipe out the children too. God says, for those who hate me, I will rain retribution to the third and fourth generation. Be careful with your attitude toward God is because your children will suffer for it. But at any moment, they can break those bondages by accepting Jesus Christ. It's not a life sentence. Mm-hmm. Verse number 4, and Paul gathered the people, and Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. There again, I told you yesterday, Judah is called out by itself. And the only reason I've ever been able to recognize in here is that Judah will become its own nation very shortly. So, for some reason here, they made a point to, every time they numbered men, Judah's numbers were added up separately. Not that it really matters. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And the Amalekites on that day, hey, where are you guys going?
Yeah, what you guys up to? Oh, we're just headed over here to the mall.
I mean, you guys were all living your normal lives, and like this morning you're all packed up, all of you. Yeah, we're just going. We'll be back. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Hibeah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Okay, so he's halfway there doing what God told him to do. He's killed all the people except he kept the king alive. Okay, so maybe he's just going to interrogate him and then kill him. Maybe, probably not.
Right.
But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. Okay. So they went in and killed all the pigs, but they said, hey, why are we going to kill all these lambs and oxen? Yep. I mean, that's going to make us more wealthy.
Yep.
Greed. But God, he's not here today. He was here yesterday when he told us this.
Uh-huh. And we kept the king alive. I mean, what's he going to do?
Yeah. So I think we should keep this stuff.
He can tell us where the treasures are at.
Yeah. He's probably got hidden treasure. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Nothing gets by God. I don't care if it's done in the dark, out in the middle of the woods, in the absolute secrecy of your imagination. God knows about it. Scary, isn't it, Christian? When Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Saul is absolutely delusional. He's full of pride. Yes, he won the battle, absolutely. And he's so puffed up in himself that he doesn't even realize that he did not follow God's commandment to wipe out all the people and all of everything that they had.
I got it done, but I did it better.
Yeah, yeah. Look how much cattle and all we got now. Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Now watch Saul right here. He's going to try to justify this as we did it for God. All right. And Saul said, They have brought them from Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord, thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. So we did it for God.
Yeah.
God said to wipe them out, but we had a better idea. Yeah. We're gonna keep them and sacrifice them all. That's what we're going to do, right, Jonathan?
Yeah.
All of them we're going to sacrifice.
That's right, all of them. Yeah. We weren't planning on breeding them out or anything.
And Samuel said to Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. The Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil. Now he's laying it on the people.
Mm-hmm.
People took of the spoil, sheep and oxen and sheep of the things which they should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Yeah, right, Saul.
Yeah, the people took them, huh?
Yes. And Samuel saith, and I mean, is not the king the moral compass in the land?
Right.
God said to Saul, Do this exactly like this. Saul should have said to the people, Do this exactly like this.
Yep, because your subjects only go by your decree.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
But you remember what Judges says. In the day there was no king, and everyone did what was right in their own sight. This is their first king, and he has not taken control of the people, and everyone is doing what is right in their own sight still. And Samuel saith, Hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? You know, and there's a thing that keeps flicking into my mind. When you brought a sacrifice to God, it had to be of yours. If it was not of yours, it didn't have any monetary value to you, and you couldn't show that you were freely giving it. Yeah, and you know, was this in their mind? Right. We keep all of these animals to sacrifice to God. We don't have to sacrifice any of our own.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. One of the most important verses in the Bible, to obey is better than sacrifice. There is only one sin in this Bible. It is disobedience. You can call it 100 different names, but it is disobedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. If you obey, you need no sacrifice. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Twice he's told him that now. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. Samuel was an upright fellow. And as Samuel turned away to go, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. Ooh. Mm. That's what happens when you disown someone
right.
in the Hebrew faith. Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. He told him what is going to happen, and he does remain by his side until it happens. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. Samuel is a no-nonsense fellow. And Agag came unto him delicately. Kind of very timidly. Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard about the power of this guy. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past.
Yeah. Not so much, Agag.
You guys aren't angry anymore, are you?
Yeah, we're good, right?
You guys wiped out all my people.
Yeah.
Took all my animals. We're good now, right?
Yeah.
Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Oh, thou shalt not kill. Samuel's guilty of the breaking the Ten Commandments. No, he's not. Mm-mm. That is a misinterpretation into the English language. It says, thou shalt not murder. Agag was guilty, and guilty of the sentence of death. Killing is a necessary part of life. God tells people to do it all the time. If thou shalt not kill was a true interpretation, then God would be a liar, because he says, thou shalt not kill, but go and kill this man. Go right. and kill this man for this reason. Thou shalt not murder. If you murder, that means the person was innocent and not worthy of death.
You do anything with malice in your heart.
Yes. Yes.
Contaminated.
And Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. I see that sentence in this Bible so many times. The Lord repented. I struggle with this. So I've been told all my life, God is all-knowing, all-seeing, knows everything from the beginning to the end. If he knows this is going to make his heart feel bad, why would he have created this situation to do that? In my mind, I don't think God looks at the future. I think he set these things in motion, and he sat there in that time and watched them play out. I mean, if he watched it all at the same time, the movie would be over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What purpose would there be to watch it from that moment on?
Yeah.
Does it make any sense?
Yeah. No, but what you're saying makes sense. Like, absolute.
Yes. I don't think that he looks forward. I think he watches it at the time it's going on.
Because he knows that we have that free will choice to do what's yes. right or wrong, and
yes.
he's just sitting there hopeful.
Yeah.
But I get that.
There are times he has looked forward and shown people things, but I believe he just watches it in real time. Chapter 16, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan, WVFF 97.7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Get up there, Samuel. Don't mourn for that old waste of time, Saul. I got me a new king. Get ye down there and anoint him. And this is very interesting here. I'm gonna start back in the middle of verse 1 again. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Now watch this very closely. Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. If Saul hears of me going here, he'll know that I'm going to anoint another king. And he'll have me killed. And listen to what the Lord said. The Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Deception. Is God telling Samuel to lie? Deception in warfare is the greatest truth. There's a spiritual warfare going on in this world. It's okay. Deception is okay if you're going toward a righteous goal. Say, I am coming to sacrifice to the Lord. Covert action, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peacefully?
You think about the stature, the way that things were going on around them to make all these people spooked like yeah. that?
Samuel's coming! Oh no! Yeah. We're either going to be blessed or wiped out.
Yeah, because that flashback to the last chapter where Agag stands there in front of them. Is, you guys are good, right?
Good. You should fear the power of the Lord.
Right.
And he said, peaceably, I've come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. Came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab. And said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on his height, or his stature. You remember he picked out Saul? He was head and shoulders above everyone.
Ooh,
yeah. Very strong and beautiful. He says, yeah, don't. We're not going with the big, pretty, model type this time.
Quit reading a spine to the book.
Yeah. We're not looking for beauty this time. Because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not a man, not as man seeth. For the Lord looketh on the outward appearance, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The entire theme of this book is the heart of man and why God wants man to follow him with his heart. Oh, the heart's just an organ that pumps blood. No, the Bible says God placed the spirit of man in the heart. And the mind of this body is contrary to the will of God, so says the Bible. And the flesh is an abomination. So if the spirit man is placed in the heart, cannot get control of the mind, and then subjugate the flesh, then he will not pass the test, which this world is today. This is not the real life. The real life is to come. God wants your heart. He doesn't want your money. He has your money. He has enough of his money. If he has your heart, he has your mind. If he has your mind, this flesh will do what he wants it to do. Verse 8, chapter 16. Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal, of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. It's small of stature, kind of, your weakling-looking fella, but he was a good-looking kid. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. See, it's how the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul on occasion, because Saul's heart was not following God. And, you know, no matter what situation David gets into, no matter how low David gets, God says, this was a man after mine own heart. Because his heart, no matter where he was, even when he got in and had Bathsheba's husband killed and all of that, God still seen that David's heart relented. And sometimes you get in the midst of a situation that keeps growing and growing and growing.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.